Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hello. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're continuing our series on spiritual warfare by looking at some of the final chapters of the book of Revelation, and today we're in Revelation chapter 19, and we're praising God for his victory. It says in here in verse 6, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." And if you remember the Hallelujah chorus from the Messiah, That's the phrase, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns." And we're calling out to God for his victory on this planet. And now we're going to hear the word of God. And before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, anoint your word today. Make it strong, make it powerful, make it clear. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the passage, Revelation chapter 19. "After these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, Come, assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and the flesh of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat upon the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." So this is a powerful chapter. It tells us of the end of the world system, the end of Babylon, which we hear about in Revelation 17 and 18, the vast commercial system, the spiritual system of competition, ego, commerce, the system that's arrayed against all righteousness, that corrupts people in every nation of this earth, and which leads to the death of the saints because they are killed for the sake of money, for the sake of ego, the sake of pride. A world system that hates every form of righteousness since the days of Nimrod and Ur of the Chaldees and the original Babylonian spirits of darkness. The Luciferian systems that are now found in the secret societies of the earth, and which many of the leaders of this world participate in them, and they're deceived into worshipping Lucifer and Satan and the great dragon. And from this deception, they rule across the earth in one form or the other, as either communist or as Satanists or as the dark people of this age. And they take various forms, but they're all serving the one Lucifer, Satan, the beast, the false prophet. They're all being deceived by this evil spirit that gives them money and power and competition and puts them in high places, even though they are unworthy people. And this Babylonian spirit, this occult spirit that we see in the Freemasons and Rosicrucians and various evil deceptive systems of the world, this brutal system, which is against every form of righteousness, is finally destroyed. And it's destroyed by the return of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God and who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and is clearly the rider on the white horse. And after this victory is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in this marriage supper of the Lamb, it's a time when the church rejoices with Jesus, where we're pure and holy, we're clothed in the righteous deeds of the saints, and we meet with Jesus in heaven in this great party, this great marriage supper of joy, and where everyone's dancing for joy because Babylon has been defeated, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has taken over the earth, wickedness is being erased, and we hear the great joy of the people of God, that the Lord God Almighty, our God of gods, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, now reigns forever and ever. And God is victorious over this world and all its corruption. So let's go back to chapter 18 to get a little bit of the context of chapter 19. And 18:21, it says, "And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." And verse 24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth." So Babylon's destroyed in chapter 18. And then we see this great celebration in heaven happening in chapter 19. And in verses 1, 2 and 3, we see a celebration of a great multitude. Revelation 19, verses 1 to 3. "After these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot, who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he's avenged her the blood of the bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah, the smoke rises up forever and ever." So all these people are judging the end of the wicked system. They're celebrating the end of the wicked system. They're saying God judges. He just doesn't sit around playing the harp in heaven. He actually comes and he does powerful things here on earth to destroy the wicked off the face of the earth. And in verse 4, the 24 elders and four living creatures reappear after a long absence. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah." So they are crying out and they're in agreement with the great multitudes. That's what Amen means. We agree with you. Yes, it is so. Yes, it is final. So the 24 elders are worshipping this thing, which is a work of God, as the armies return and as Babylon is destroyed and as a great war against God takes place. And then in verse 5, "And a voice came from the throne." And these are the words in Revelation, the sounds from the throne, the voice from the throne. These are the powerful words that really shake heaven. And it comes straight from God and straight from the Lamb.
And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." So we're all bondservants of God if you're a Christian. And part of our duty is to give praise to God Almighty. We give him praise that he is righteous, that he is just, that his judgments work, that his prophecies come true, that he sent Jesus to save our souls. And we should always be praising God because God's going to win that victory. He is going to destroy the works of the devil in the earth, and the devil is not going to have any authority. After a while, the devil is just going to be removed, and this world will be a righteous place. It will be a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we won't have riots, and we won't have racism, and we won't have wickedness, and we won't have people stealing and robbing and looting and raping and plundering. That will all be gone. And the people who love oppressing other people, who make unjust judgments in the court, who are corrupt, who do deals behind the back to make themselves rich while every other person is poor, all those people will be cleansed out of the earth, and a new heavens and a new earth will be generated in which righteousness dwells and in which Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And then verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." And we see it's not just the Lord God, it's the Lord our God, Almighty, reigns. He is our God and we are his people. And the hallelujah simply means praise the Lord. It's the Hebrew word for that. And hallelujah stays the same in many languages. Wherever the Bible is translated, it seems that hallelujah remains the same word. It isn't translated into anything else. So hallelujah, that means praise the Lord. The Lord our God Almighty reigns. So God is the one that reigns over all creation. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And he will take his place in charge of this earth, which is so full of suffering at the moment, so full of injustice. God's going to make all that injustice go away. And he's going to reign on the earth. He's going to break the resistance. At the moment, the earth is a rebel planet. It's under forces of darkness. It's under the beast and the false prophet and under the dragon. It's under the devil. It's under the feet of wicked men and wicked women and powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. And our battle is against those powers and principalities in the heavenly realms and not against flesh and blood. So they have to be dealt with. How are these powers and principalities going to be dealt with? They're going to be dealt with by the prayers of the saints, the witness of the saints, us shedding our blood, not being afraid until death. And those powers and principalities will be cast down and destroyed in the great battles and struggles at the end of the age. And remember, it says in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come." As the gospel is preached, it weakens the powers and principalities. People repent, they become saved. God's church gets larger and larger, and we reach a tipping point one day when those powers and principalities cannot exist. And they realize that the gospel has become too powerful for them. And they've been cast down in every country of the earth, and the gospel is rising up, and they say, "This is our last hour. The Christians are starting to win. The gospel's too powerful. There's too much revival." And so they decide to launch this great almighty war against God and against Christians, against converted Jews and many others around the earth, and launch a tremendous persecution, which we see in the book of Revelation. And we are at that point in history now. The gospel has been proclaimed in nearly every nation of the earth. The last unreached people groups are starting to be reached at the moment. A lot of the missionary societies that I have friends in are reaching the final people on the earth in the most remote places. And even this broadcast is broadcast right across Africa and shortwave radio. And here the word of God is going out through the earth, in this case through Voice of Hope Radio based in Lusaka, Zambia. And in many other ways, through the internet, through cell phones, through people on the ground, through pastors and preachers and evangelists, the word of is going out, and it's toppling these powers and principalities. So, verse 7, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." The bride is the bride of Christ. It's the church. It's you and I being obedient to God. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Your acts, your deeds are your fine linen. If you want to be glorious before God, go out and do good works in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And so we are blessed if we're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you're pure, if you're holy, if you pursued righteousness and truth, if Christ is in you, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, if you're living a holy life, you'll be one of those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to the glory and to the peace. And it's a very large group of people. We see it's a great multitude are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's not just 144,000 special people or a few pastors and apostles. It's a great mountain of people, an enormous number of people who have believed in Jesus and lived holy lives through the centuries. And verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, who's this person that he's not allowed to worship? It's the angel in chapter 1 that's been conducting him all through heaven and all through the vision. So this is a messenger angel. There are many messenger angels in the Bible that come with a great message from God, and they speak on behalf of God. They speak on behalf of Jesus. And it gets confusing because that's the messenger formula. So they're speaking on behalf of God, but they are not God. They are just angels, mighty angels sent from heaven to speak to us and to represent the one they speak for. So they have many of the symbolisms of Jesus. This angel is not Jesus, though he carries a lot of the symbolism, a lot of the power. The angel in Revelation that speaks to John is not Jesus Christ himself, but an angel sent from Jesus to communicate all these truths to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. And John is so impressed with the power and the symbolism and the vision that he accidentally falls down and says, oh, I've got to worship this mighty angel that's been showing me all these things. The angel says, no, we are just fellow servants. And in Hebrews and other places, it says, these are just ministering angels. They're ministering spirits sent to help those who will inherit salvation. So they are servants of God. We are servants of God. They're sent to help us inherit salvation. And we are not to worship angels in any way, shape, or form. We're not to worship any spiritual being, whether it's an angel, a demon, an archangel, or anything else. The only person we're to worship is God and Jesus Christ. Remember, there's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are to worship him who sits upon the throne, and we are to worship the Lamb, and that's it. No saints, we don't worship St. Peter or St. John. We don't worship Mary. We don't worship any angel, or we don't worship any spiritual being or manifestation of God. We just worship Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We see that right at the end of Revelation as well. And so all the spirit of prophecy right throughout the Bible, it points to Jesus. So all the prophets, all the true prophets are pointing to Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's the inside truth of prophecy is all about Jesus and his return and his power and his appearance as Messiah. And so if you're a true prophet, you're pointing to Jesus and his victory over evil. Okay, and we're at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So this is the returning Jesus on the white horse. He's victorious. He's coming in as a conquering king, and he's called the Word of God, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. We find in Hebrews again that the Word upholds all of creation. This is Jesus. He is faithful. He is true. He is reliable. There is nothing untoward in Jesus. Everything about him is holy and great and powerful. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war, and he's coming to make war against the kings of the earth. Then it goes on, and he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Obviously, that is the blood of the cross. and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. So we're coming in with Jesus. We become part of the armies of heaven. We reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword. Of course, that is the sharp sword of the Word of God, which divides joints and marrow, soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The Word of God is often seen as a two-edged sword, which cuts to the marrow, which is quick and sharp. It's like a scalpel. It is precise. And from the mouth of God, from the very Word of God, is this sword which judges across the earth all the thoughts and intents of the heart, and which destroys the wicked. So that with it he might smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he won't give any wiggle room. He won't let the wicked get away with a single thing. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe, and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's who Jesus is. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Because he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, he is the conqueror of all creation. And he comes back on that white horse to deal with all the wickedness of this age, which will finally come to an end. The Babylonian system, with all its immorality and luxury and wickedness and sin, is about to be judged, and all the leaders and kings of the earth are about to be judged, and everyone who rebels against God is about to be judged. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and his army. So, there's a great judgment coming, and this world and all the kings of the earth and all their armies will come, and they're going to fight against Jesus and him who rides on the horse and the armies of heaven. Of course, they stand no chance. But they are stubborn, they are unrepentant, they have not repented from their idolatry and the works of their hands. They have not repented from their immorality. We see that right through the whole book of Revelation. And they're stubborn in the face of the judgment of God. And they're standing there, probably in Jerusalem, or maybe in Armageddon. And they're standing there ready to fight God. And a lot of people in their hearts, they're trying to fight God now. If you're trying to fight God, you're going to lose. Repent. Believe in Jesus. Stop trying to fight God. God is tougher than you. And all your anger and all your resentment and all your self-will and rebellion are just going to make you into a loser. Because God is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. So stop fighting God and repent right now and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then verse 20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two, that's the beast and the false prophet, were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. So the two leaders of the rebellion are thrown alive into the pit, the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. And there they're tormented forever and ever in a scene of absolute horror. They receive an eternal punishment of great destruction. They have caused rebellion across the earth against God. And they're picked up, first of all, and hurled into the lake of fire. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So there's many, many people slaughtered. All these birds and creatures and coyotes and whatever else. All the warthogs or whatever come and eat all this carrion. It's everywhere. There's dead people everywhere from all over the earth that have come to rebel against God. And all the kings of the earth are killed, and all the leaders of the earth are killed, and everyone that's wicked and unrighteous is killed at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because then there's going to be no more room for wickedness. There's going to be no more room for repentance. Because when Jesus comes back, you're either on his side or you're against him. There is no middle ground on Judgment Day. You're either a Christian or you're going into the lake of fire. And it's up to you to make a decision right now, whether you're going to be a Christian, whether you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, whether you're going to be in heaven with the marriage supper of the Lamb, or you're going to be eaten by the vultures on the day of judgment. Because we're getting very close to the end, and it's time you made a decision about Jesus. It's time that you cast your lot in with God and with Jesus and with the saints. It's time you decided to be holy. It's time you repented from your sin. It's time you turned away from idols and witchcraft and juju and voodoo. It's time you turned away from loving money more than loving people. It's time you decided to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. And if you've decided to do that, you just cry out to God and say, God, forgive my sins. I've lived my life the wrong way right up to now. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to live a righteous life. I want to live a true life. I want to live a holy life. I want to be in love with Jesus, and I want Jesus to save me. And if you want to be saved, if you want to have Jesus in your life, if you want to have the Holy Ghost in your heart and be a new person with a new life, you want to treat people better and be a better person, then you cry out to God right now and you just say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, get me born again. Jesus, make me righteous. And ask God to make you into a Christian. Say, Jesus, I have sinned. Please forgive my sins and fill me with the Holy Ghost. And you need to do that. You need to do that right now. It's time to make a decision because Judgment Day is coming. And you don't want to end up on the wrong side of Judgment Day. You want to be up in heaven with those who are rejoicing. And as it says in verse 6, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. God is going to reign over this earth. That gives us great hope. It gives us great strength. And you've got to remember, if you're discouraged, that God's in control. God reigns. God's got this sorted out. Just be on the side of Jesus. Be faithful. Be true. Put away your idols. Put away your immorality, your dishonesty, your anger, your strife. Put away all of that and live on the commands of Jesus Christ. And this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all. Go and read his word. Amen.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.